many of y'all like to give God advice? Okay, two of you.
Well, this makes three.
I'm pretty good at that. I think the world would be in much better shape if you listened. I'm kidding. This is the case that happened when I was writing this sermon a couple weeks ago. The sermon is entitled The Prayer of Sorrow, and this does not sound like a Thanksgiving kind of message. Okay? And so I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't really want to preach this. I'd rather preach on having an attitude of gratitude. How about a sermon on that? And God just kind of did what he normally does, which is this. I have God doing that plenty of times. Face palm, all that kind of thing. And he said, no, this is what you're going to preach on. Depend on me to make my people praise me. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. And I think that by the end of the message, you'll understand why. So stay tuned. Some years ago, there was a journalist, and this is a true story. He was assigned to the Jerusalem bureau of his newspaper. His flat where he was staying overlooked the Western Wall of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, how many of you know what the Western Wall is? What do they call that? The Wailing Wall. Because you'll find conservative Jews and holy people there every day, and they will be wailing out their prayers in front of this wall. And they'll take their prayer requests and they'll actually write them down on pieces of parchment or paper, and they'll insert it into the cracks in the wall. Well, this journalist was impressed by this one individual who came there, and he would pray every single day. He was there every day. And so the journalist was intrigued by this, and he went down and waited for this man, who showed up on cue. And the reporter said, can I ask you a few questions? I need to know, why is it that you come here every day to pray? And the man said, well, that's what God wants me to do. Pray. He said, okay, well, what do you pray for? The man said, well, in the morning I pray for world peace. When I come back in the afternoon, I pray for the brotherhood of man. Then I go home, I'll have a cup of tea, and I will come back to the wall to ask the Lord to eradicate all illness, sickness, and disease from the world. And he did this every day, every morning, and every afternoon, and every evening. And so the journalist took him very seriously and said, you mean you have been coming to this wall every day, three times a day, to pray for these things? The man says, I've been coming to this wall every day, three times a day, for the past 25 years to pray for these things. Well, the reporter was really intrigued by this, and he said, how does it feel to come and pray every day for 25 years for all these things? What does it feel like? And what do you think the man said? He said, how does it feel? It feels sometimes like I'm just talking to the wall. Now, how have you ever felt like that? When you pray, you feel like you're talking to the wall? Or you feel like maybe the ceiling that you're praying through is made out of brass, and everything you pray just gets reflected back down to you and nobody hears? You ever feel like that? Tell me I'm not the only one. Okay? All people who have ever felt that way, say amen. If you've never felt that way, let me know so I can go down there and sit and listen to you. Any takers? No? Okay. Not even my smart aleck daughter will take me up on that one. I want to start off today by saying something that's not easy to say. Okay? But I want to kind of establish the groundwork for the rest of the sermon. And I want to make it very clear that I personally am a very strong believer in prayer. I begin every day with reading my Bible and praying, and I'm hoping that you do the same thing. I believe that prayer is a tremendous and powerful tool that the Lord has given to his people. And I do believe that prayer changes things. Okay? I honestly believe that. I believe it. I've seen it. And I know that it's true. But I also know that there are times when prayer will not change what's going to happen. There are some times we pray and God says, yes. There's some times that God says, wait. But then there's times we pray and God says, the N word, we handle that? Well, we handle it by understanding the fact that God will change whatever He desires to change. He will do what He knows needs to be done in His time. We know that to be true. And when I was thinking about this whole thing, the Lord brought me to Luke chapter 22, and I'm hoping that you'll turn there with me. We're going to start reading at verse 39. But the questions I want to ask this morning are questions like, what happens when God doesn't answer my prayers the way that I want them answered? How many of you have ever gotten an answer to prayer and it wasn't what you were looking for? My wife, some years ago, prayed and said, God, please give me a Cadillac of a husband. She got a Volkswagen. Sometimes we don't get what we're praying for exactly. He said, you want to pass it? Man, you're in big trouble. What do I do when God says no? What good does it do me to pray when I'm pretty certain that it's not going to change the circumstances the way I want them changed? Okay? How do we do it? Well, Luke chapter 22. Has everybody got that? Anybody still looking for it? Luke 22, starting verse 39. Reading from the New International Version. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but Yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so you'll not fall into temptation. The story that follows this is about Jesus being arrested, about being betrayed by a disciple of his named Judas. And you know the story. Yes? Okay. The first thing I want to highlight here is that when Jesus prayed, He prayed that God would take the cup from Him. Okay? He prayed that the cup would be taken from Him. What does that mean? What is the cup? Normally speaking, when you read in your Bible and you find this cup spoken of in this way, it usually means something to do with God's wrath. But if you were to go back to your Koine Greek, you'd find this word cup as translated here in Luke 22 to come from a Greek word proterion. Now the word proterion means state or destiny. So when Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me, what's He saying? Oh, Father, please let this state or this destiny pass from me. What is He saying? He's saying, God, I know it has to be done, but if there's some other way to do it, please do it. Please do it some other way. He knew that He'd have to suffer. He knew that He would have to die for the sins of sinful people, just like your spouse. But the truth is that when He prayed, He said what? Father, if there's some other way, please do this some other way. Do you think it was the pain of betrayal that made Him pray this? Do you think it was worrying about the pain that would take to hang Him on a cross that did this? He knew that in order to complete the work that God had called Him to, He would have to face the cup. He would face the wrath of God on behalf of sinful people just like you and me in order to complete the work that He was called to do. Am I making myself clear? He had walked every day of His human life in close relationship with God. Before He came here, He actually pre-existed. He was the Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was Jesus. The only one who's ever pre-existed. I'm sorry guys, you didn't. You weren't an angel of heaven looking to find a way to get your wings so you came to earth. And, you know, that didn't happen. But Jesus pre-existed. And He came to earth to pay the price for people's sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have what? Jesus came to die as our substitute. Now when I say that, I want you to put the word my in there. Jesus came to die as my substitute. You and I are the ones that deserve to die on the cross, but Jesus did it for you. Get it? It was a prisoner exchange, kind of. Jesus came to drink the cup of God's wrath so that we would not have to taste it for ourselves. Now, how many of you would say, I am so glad to hear that, because I would not want to fall into the hands of an angry God. That's what he was born to do. That's why he died. But now, just hours before he is to actually do it, he prays and says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. In other words, Father, if you're willing, find some other way to do this. This is going to hurt too much. I'm going to be separated from you for the first time. And the grief over this whole prospect made the blood vessels in the surface of his skin explode, so that as he sweated, the blood came through his skin. It was, it's a medical situation called, well, let me just say, I was going to try to tell you what it was, I forget what it is. But it actually happens. It happened to a rhinoceros in Philadelphia when they're bringing it into port. The rhinoceros got so upset that the blood vessels toward the surface of his skin broke, and when they got him out of the crate, he was covered in dried blood. How did this happen? I don't know where it is. Hyperhidrosis. Thank you. I'm having senior moments lately. Jesus prayed on three separate times that God would take this cup from him, but God said, you're going to have to go through it. And in the end, when Jesus prayed, he said, let thy will be done and not mine. So Jesus prayed, and he prayed three times. Do you think that Jesus believed that by praying three times that God was going to hear him and change the way it would be done? Do you think so? Do you think that Jesus had an idea that the Father was going to tell him no? Think about it. Don't everybody jump at once here. I mean, I can't take all of it. Do you think that Jesus believed his Father would tell him no? Father, let this cup pass from me. Do you think he believed God was going to say, okay, I'll do it? No. He knew that God would say no. If Jesus knew his prayer wasn't going to change his destiny, then why pray? Good question, huh? If God was going to have his plan worked out and Jesus understood that, then why did he pray? Well, I'm going to hear, I want you to hear this, folks. If you don't hear another thing I say this morning, listen to this. You got me? Are we listening? Okay. Prayer isn't always about changing things to make me happy. Sometimes prayer is about laying a hold of God and latching onto him and experiencing his strength, experiencing his comfort, and experiencing his will for our lives. We want to change everything by praying. Sometimes we need to pray and just say, God, let me hold on to you a little tighter. That's really what happens. The second thing I want to share with you about this is that too often people see prayer as if it were some kind of magic incantation. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fact that some people believe that if they say the right words in the right order, with the right attitude, in the right way, at the right time, abracadabra, presto, changeo, God steps in and bang, everything's great. And some people think that that's the way prayer works. You say it right, it's a magical incantation, and everything is peachy. How many of you have ever heard of a man named Isaac Bruce? Isaac Bruce was a wide receiver for the St. Louis Rams, and he was a member of the Super Bowl winning team in Super Bowl 34. Okay? There was a team, the Rams, they called them the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner was the quarterback. They had some wide receivers that could blind you. They were so fast. And they would bring up points like nobody else could. They called it the greatest show on turf. and they won the Super Bowl that year, but they won the Super Bowl because of a game-winning catch by a receiver named Isaac Bruce. Okay? Isaac was fast. He had good hands. And he was interviewed by a Sports Illustrated reporter by the name of Rick Riley. Okay? Rick Riley interviewed him, and speaking about the catch, Isaac Bruce said, "You know, that was all God. It was all God. I made an adjustment, and it was all Jesus from that point on. When that ball went up in the air, I prayed and I said, 'Oh, Jesus!' And the ball came down and settled in my hands. And I was able to win the score, or score the winning touchdown." Something about that answer troubled Rick Riley. And when he asked Isaac Bruce about a recent car accident that Isaac had had, Isaac said, "I got out of that car accident unscathed. Because when my car flipped, I cried out and I said, 'Oh, Jesus!' And when the car settled, I got up, got out of the car, and I was fine." And the reporter said, "Now, wait a minute. You think that by saying the word Jesus at the right time, it becomes your magic talisman or something? What about Payne Stewart? Ever hear about Payne Stewart? He was a great golfer back in the day. He had one of the most syrupy and sweet swings you've ever seen in golf. He died in a plane accident, tragically." The reporter said, "Well, what if Payne Stewart had said the word Jesus when his plane hit the ground? Would he have survived?" Isaac Bruce said, "Well, of course he would have. Because he would have said Jesus at the right time." Do you think that's the way prayer works? I don't think that Isaac Bruce was a great theologian. What do you think? He believed that prayer was like a magic word. And you say the right magic word at the right time, God's going to go presto, changeo. Look, everything's great. You said the right word at the right time. Prayer is not a magic talisman. It's not just saying the right words at the right time that makes God jump to your command. You might be like Isaac Bruce and think that if you say Jesus at the right time, the football is going to settle in your hands just in the perfect way to allow you to score the winning touchdown. Or if you get in a car accident, or maybe if this falls sometime, you're driving on the road and a deer runs out in front of your car. If you say the word Jesus at the right time, the deer is going to jump and go over your car. Do you honestly think that prayer is a magic cure-all? A pastor was out hunting one day. He skipped church that day. He shouldn't have skipped church, but he called in and said, "Let somebody else preach for me. I'm sick." And we were out hunting. And as he was out hunting, he heard a rustling in the bushes. And this rustling became louder, and he looked, and it was a bear. And he took off running. And the bear started to chase him. And the priest, as he was running, was praying, saying, "Oh God, I'm so sorry that I missed church this morning. I'll never do it again. Please, God, if you do anything, make that bear a Christian." The bear dropped to his knees at that moment, clasped his hands and said, "Oh God, please bless this meal I'm about to receive." That didn't really happen, okay? And that's not really. Why should we pray? Point three. We're getting done fast. You know why we're getting done fast? Because I think you can smell the food downstairs. I don't want to make it stick around too long. Why should we pray? If I can't always get what I want, why pray? You ever ask yourself that question? If prayer doesn't always change God's mind about something, what's the sense of me praying? The easiest answer is that sometimes prayer indeed does change things. I believe that there are times that the hand of God has moved in an unusual way by the prayers of His people. Folks, I'm telling you, I've seen God do some amazing things in healing people. A pastor friend of mine and another pastor went and prayed over a baby who was born with no eardrums. He would shriek and scream because every sound would just cause him terrible pain in his head. And ladies and gentlemen, overnight that baby grew eardrums, miraculously. That doesn't happen. I have seen crooked limbs straightened by the power of prayer. I have seen circumstances come to bear that had absolutely no sense happening, But God has moved and He has changed things, and I believe that prayer changes things. And I believe that moves the hand of God. I believe there's power in prayer. Do you? But what about the times you pray and God says no? Why should we pray? If God already knows the answers, what does He just pray for? I've seen times, folks, that prayer has defied all belief. But I've seen times also that prayer has defied the belief that nothing will change. I've also seen prayer fall flat on the floor. At least in our way of looking at it, that's what happens. But what if I was to say that prayer isn't always for the thing we think it's for? Does that sound confusing? Have you ever sat down to pray about something, and by the time you're done praying, you're praying about something different than what you thought you were sitting down to pray about? Seriously. Oh, dear God, please give me a Porsche 928 S4 like the one sitting up there on 6th Street that the lady's trying to sell. We need a lot of work. I'd have to spend a lot of time on a Dean shop. God hasn't blessed me with one of those yet. Here's the point. Sometimes God stills the storms of the sea. But at other times, He calms the storms within me. And that's the beautiful thing about prayer. Because the Word tells us in Philippians that we should go to God with our prayers and that He will give us peace that passes all understanding if we're just willing to pray to Him without fretting and without worrying, without stressing out about it. When Jesus prayed here in the garden in Luke 22, He prayed because He had to talk to His Father in heaven. He felt the need. He just could not avoid it. He had to talk to God. He had to share the anxiety that was laying heavy on His heart. Do you think He was having anxiety that day? Do you think you got anxiety? He had the weight of the entire world on His shoulders. And He had hematidrosis, the blood coming through the pores of His skin. It says He was in anguish. He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's the kind of prayer, folks, that you and I need to learn how to pray. A passionate prayer. One that we know that is urgent. I've heard people say to me, well, I don't need to do devotions, and I don't need to really sit down and pray in the morning because I carry on a conversation with God all day long. Yeah, so do I. And most often it sounds something like this. Oh, God, please help this. Oh, God, please do that. Lord, please, God, help that person. Lord, please give me some more of this. If that's really getting on your knees before God, that's what He wants. And ladies and gents, I'm here to tell you that God misses His time with you. And He wants you to spend those quiet times with Him every single day. Those of you that have kids know what I'm talking about. How would you feel if your kid totally ignored you for an entire day? Or if the only things you ever heard out of your kid was, oh, Mom, Dad, I need this. Please give me that. There are two keys, folks, to prayer that can help our prayers give us the strength and courage we need to face difficult times. I hope you're listening, because we've only got about 2 minutes left in the message, and we'll be happy. Key number one is this. Jesus prayed a prayer that was honest. He prayed honestly. God, I'm stressed by this. If there's some other way, God, please find some other way to do this. Please find some other way, if it's possible. Let this cup pass for me. That was honest. You know that when you pray to God, there's no sense trying to fool Him. What we often do, don't we? We're not transparent in front of Him. We think we've got things that we can hide from Him. Folks, there's no way we can do that. You might as well be completely transparent when you stand before God and you come before the throne of grace and pray, because God can see it all anyhow. When you know who was by the river Jabbok and the angel came down to wrestle with him, who remembers this story? Okay? Jacob. And he wrestled with this angel all night long by the brook, and finally he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel said, okay, what's your name? That's an odd question. Don't you think the angel knew who this guy was? Well, maybe it was a case of mistaken identity. No. He said, my name is Jacob. What does that mean? The word Jacob means liar, cheater, heel grasper, usurper, dishonest guy. And when he said, I'm Jacob, what was he doing? He's saying, I am all these things. I'm a cheater, I'm a liar, I'm a heel grasper. And the angel said, okay, guess what? You've got a new name. From now on, you'll be known as Israel. That's why the word Israel means those who wrestle with God. Jacob was honest. Jesus was honest. When Jesus prayed in the garden, he was brutally honest. There was no religious platitude to the prayer. He did not try to sugarcoat or hide anything. He knew what was about to occur. And when he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, he knew what was about to happen. And he knew what had to be done, but he still preached separate times it would change. But in the end, what did he say? Father, okay, not my will be done, but yours. Prayer changed something. What did it change? It changed Jesus. He got up there praying, oh God, let's you just do this some other way. In the end, it was, okay, God, you go your way. And he walked out of that garden and said, okay, fellas, let's go. I'm about to be betrayed. And he went, and he did it willingly. Folks, if that was me in the garden, you would have heard a bunch of screaming. It would be because I was running in the other direction. The second thing that I want to key in on here is that when Jesus prayed, he pressed in to God. He was pressing in. His prayer had the power to give him strength because it hinged on accepting God's will. And when he went and he pressed into God, I can think of times when my little ones were still little. They weren't like, you know, behemoths, you know. Sarah and Seth used to be small. Michaela used to be small. And there'd be times that they'd sit on the other side of the living room and we'd be playing back and forth and doing stuff. And that was a lot of fun. But you know what times made my heart melt and made me feel all kinds of love for my kids and all that kind of stuff was when they would come and sit on my lap and press their heads in right here and put their head on my shoulder, pressed in. They wanted more of Daddy than just playful jousting back and forth the living room. That's what God wants from us. Press in when you pray. God, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to keep at it, God. I'm going to keep at it. In closing, I want to give you an illustration of how this works. Some years ago, I used to like to go on whale watches. Anybody ever go on a whale watch? Okay. Left Cape Cod one day on a whale watch. And went out and saw some pretty cool whales. We saw a James whale. We saw, you know, some finback whales and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty cool. And this boat was a big boat, and it had five engines on it, and this would get to where it needed to go really fast. And this thing powered out, and just, you know, it was great, and it powered its way back in. And when we came to the dock, there was a guy at the front of the boat who took this big, heavy rope, and he threw it over onto the dock, and there were some people waiting on the dock. This rope had a big loop on the end. And they hooked it over this big post that was sticking up out of the water, and the captain turned on these winches, and you could hear them. Rum, 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 rum. And what do you think happened? I know what you're thinking. The dock came to the boat, right? That's the way we think prayer is. We throw out the line, and we have to have God come to us. No. Those winches came and started working, and the boat was slowly drawn to the dock. And ladies and gentlemen, that's really what prayer is. We need to understand that prayer is the rope that pulls us to God. He's the dock. You're the boat. Sometimes we need that. We need to realize that Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane was not a prayer of hopelessness and defeat. It was a prayer of surrendering to the will of God. In that surrender, Jesus found the strength to overcome. You hear what I just said? In that prayer, Jesus found the strength to overcome. And the Word says from that point, angels came and they ministered to him to strengthen him. I need that kind of strength. Do you? Tell me I'm not just talking to myself here. How many of you could use some strength? Well then, stop praying, oh God, let my will be done. And start saying, oh God, somehow glorify yourself in this mess. Not my will be done, God, let your will be done in all things. And in your surrender to him, he changes your heart. And he makes things happen. But the first thing he wants to have happen is for your boat to drop to his dock. Are we okay with that? Folks, if you can pray that prayer and sense that your heart is joining close with God, then you've got more to praise God for this Thanksgiving than almost everybody else. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that are struggling with this. If you show them a heart that is grateful and joyful, even in the midst of your difficult circumstances, and God is going to reach some people to glorify himself. Do you believe me? Let's pray about it. Our Father in heaven, we know that sometimes circumstances are not what we would hope for. And there are times, God, that we pray and we say, oh God, change things. Or change those other people so that my circumstance would be more comfortable. But God, there are times when you'll say, Lord, pray to me, the Lord, to change you, and we'll see what happens. So God, we do pray that. And we ask you, dear God, to change us and strengthen us to meet our circumstances. Father, help us to face your will with courage and strength. Lord, give us the grace to do that. Lord, we've prayed time and time again that you would cure us or heal us, or Lord, that you would just change our circumstances somehow. But today, dear God, our prayer is, Lord, change me. Lord, change our hearts. Mold us and make us in the likeness of our Savior Jesus. For in his name we pray.